Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Bob Schuster down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then I've got a great interview with Minnesota fishing guide and pro angler Bro Brosdahl talking about bluegills, and lastly, some great fishing tips from Hayward area fishing guide Tim Duffy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Hayward Power Sports features Tracker, America's number one selling aluminum fishing boats. Hit the water, ready to fish in a 2017 Super Guide V16 SC with a 40 horse Mercury 4-stroke and trailer for just $15,295 or $203 a month. It also comes equipped with a Minn Kota Power Drive trolling motor, a Lowrance Hook 3X color fish finder, and Tracker's Promise 5-year bow to stern warranty. Plus, Tracker's no hassle, no haggle national pricing assures you a fair deal. See Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward.
It's the pre-summer savings bash at Timber Ford of Hayward. Hi, I'm Amy Belke, and I invite you to check out our overwhelming selection of pre-owned vehicles, all priced to sell, like our 2008 Cadillac Escalade for only $285 a month, or our 2012 Toyota 4Runner with a low monthly payment of $395. Check out our 2013 Ford Fusion, priced at $14,973. That's a payment of less than $300 a month. Timber Ford of Hayward, it's commitment-driven and community-focused. You're going to love how we do business.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. We're actually recording a week after the fishing season opened. Bob, we got Bob Schuster in here, and we've got another person here.
Yeah, we've got Krista Bloomquist, who was our new assistant, and she's got quite a task because she's got to try to keep me straight and organized and...
That's hard to do.
Yeah, I think I noticed her hair's already starting to turn gray.
Yeah, anyway, it'll be an interesting show because, like I said, the fishing season's been open a week, and the reports have been getting back are a little bit unpredictable. I mean, it seems like the crappies right now, as we're speaking, are just in and out, and some of them are starting to come in. I think that this by the time this airs, that we're going to be really good crappie fishing.
I think so too, John. I've had some pretty good reports on a number of the area lakes where the fish aren't in the skinny water yet, but they're close.
I'm finding some in, but it's real spotty. Yeah. This last week here, away from the opening weekend on, you'd hunt around, you'd find one little cove that would have a bunch of fish in it, and sometimes they were cooperative and sometimes they weren't, but they're just like one or two little spots.
Yep, for sure. And then the walleye bite, there has been some good reports there as well.
You bet. Well, you know, as far as northern pike, I hear there's some good reports on that, too.
Yep, for sure. Both light bait and spinner baits and spoons.
Well, I know we're coming up to the muskie opener now, and, you know, that should be actually pretty good with the water warming up, although it's kind of hung there for a while. It just seemed like we were in that 50-some degree. Now it's finally starting to warm up a little.
Yeah, it is, John. Of course, you were out Wednesday night as well. We've seen 59 and 60 over in Sisabagma for bass outing.
And that's been late in the day, and that's been consistent with what I've seen out there and some of the other guides, is that the best fishing has been late in the day.
Yeah, well, and our evenings have been pretty chilling, so that's probably why.
Let's talk a little bit about the store. I mean, you got the new store in here, and we've got Krista in here. And Krista, you know, you got a big job here. This store has really gotten to be basically a superstore when it comes for outdoor stuff.
It sure is a big job. Getting to know everything in here and organizing everybody in the process.
You like to fish too, I take it.
I do like to fish. I'm out there for panfish and walleye, bass. lots of good summer fishing and ice fishing.
We'll have to get you into muskie fishing, too.
I need to catch my first muskie. Whoever wants to take me out, I'm willing.
That's not hard. That's not hard on some of the lakes, but some lakes it is. Muskies are never easy.
No, they're not, John. They're unpredictable, but there are points and times where the moon and the stars line up and you can have some pretty good action.
And there's actually some lakes around yet that there's a few. We've seemed like we've lost a lot of the lakes that we used to call numbers lakes. Now yep. The fish are getting bigger in them lakes with maybe less fish, but we still got a few lakes around. Moose, Ghost, some of the lakes up by Clam
Tiger
Lake.
Cat. And Spider has been, traditionally pretty good as well.
Spider's good, but we're just seeing a really good musky fish. And I think the opener is going to be fantastic, actually.
I think so, too, John.
As far as the other stuff here, talking about in the store here, you've got a lot of new stuff in here, a lot of new product this year.
Yeah, we do, John. We've added some plastics. We've added some rod lines. We've expanded on some of our reel lines as well. And we've got a number of seasons out on display now with the expansion. We have ice fishing and hunting, archery, boating, which we expanded there, and quite a few electronics.
Well, and some of the things are pertinent for all year long. Some of the ice fishing tackle, the jigs and stuff work in the summertime too.
Yep, they do. So it's having that space, keeping track of that inventory even in the off season.
Well, Bob, I know the archery department's going to grow here too, I think.
Yeah, it is. And then we've expanded on some of the hunting. We had a much better display for turkey hunting this year and a bigger display of calls at our assortment. So as we move forward, we're not done by any means. We got some tweaking to do, but it is nice to have that extra space. It is nice because we can spread out the inventory a little bit.
And Krista, you got all the live bait in here, I know, and you guarantee the bait, right? The minnows are guaranteed to catch fish or die trying, right?
Absolutely.
You got leeches, crawlers, what?
Leeches, crawlers, leaf worms, waxies, and then all of the, we've got the crappie minnows, fatheads, the walleye suckers, northern suckers, shiners.
Yep, sounds like pretty much got it all there. So anyway, we're going to have to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors that help the show, and I've got an interview coming up. I'm going to talk a little bit about, it's an interview I ran before with Bro Brosdahl, which is one of the Minnesota guides. He's a pretty popular, well-known ice guide, especially, talking about the importance of releasing big bluegills. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be back after these messages.
Get ready for fishing this year at Hayward Bait and Bottle. They have a huge selection of lures, rods, reels, tackle, boating supplies, live bait, and much more. In the bottle shop, they also have a huge selection of beer, wine, and liquor. And if you're looking for that new dock or boat lift for your lakefront this year, stop in at Hayward Bait and Bottle and check out the quality ShoreMaster lineup. For over 40 years, ShoreMaster has covered the waterfront with world-class docks designed to help people enjoy their waterfront experience to the fullest. Get more dock for your dollar with ShoreMaster at Hayward Bait and Bottle in Hayward.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports provides you the ultimate fishing experience with Lund Boats. Lund's exclusive IPS hull provides precise boat control and a soft, dry ride, no matter how rough the water is. Add in Lund's state-of-the-art live wells, ultra-comfort seats, and ample storage, and you're ready to fish like a pro. Plus, Lund Boats hold their value like no other. I'm Johnny, and I want to show you the ultimate fishing experience with a Lund from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Or call us at 715-462-3674.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336. Or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com. And then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host is Bob Schuster down here. And we've got
Krista
in here as well. Bob, you know, we've talked about this lots of times on the show and stuff, but the one thing, guys go out, they want crappies, they want bluegills, they selectively take the biggest fish, and that's actually
the wrong thing to do, John, because those big fish are reproducing the population, so that you're going to take your classes away.
Well, the interesting thing I found out, and I've said this on the show quite a few times, and I'm going to say it again, is that I see that Minnesota now is actually telling people that, and they, through their research, they found out that the big bluegills, the big bull male bluegills, are the ones that actually dictate the size structure of the lake. Not through genetics and stuff, it's just through the fact that they're there. So it's important to release those bigger bluegills and keep the 8 inches or so, the 8 to 9 inches.
The good eaters.
Yeah, the good eaters. So let's hear what Bro had to say about that, and we come back, I'll have another interview, and we're going to have Tim Duffy on the last part of the show here, I think, talking about some things. Bro, you know, when it comes to fishing, or even summer fishing, one of the favorite fish out there for people to fish for, especially the families, is panfish and bluegills. But we're not seeing the size bluegills we used to see. Boy, they're just hard to find any big ones.
Yeah, well, you know, bluegills are a strange and very complicated fish. Out of all the species of fish that swim in our northern waters, they are by far the most complex, and they have they don't grow big if there's not big ones in there, and it's all related to the first 4 years of growth and their life, and also the big males chasing the little ones out. What happens, and it's obviously fishing pressure is taking it down, but naturally bluegills that haven't been touched will have big ones in many different year classes, but When spring comes and it gets towards summer, water temperatures get in the 70s, and the bluegills get ready to spawn, the big males, the biggest males, will chase all the other competing males out of the beds. So the competing smaller males will go about feeding and everything. If they get in there to spawn, they stunt. All their energy goes towards spawning. So when we, you know, it only takes a few big bluegills getting caught out of a weed bed to already change it. And it's been documented since the 50s, the decline of bluegills in the Midwest, of big ones. We're not talking about little ones. When I was a kid, everybody talked about throwing back the little ones and keeping the big ones. That's wrong.
Yeah.
My father, he realized it. He said, we can't keep these fish. They're you could see it even back in the 70s, 80s, that the bluegills were declining, the big ones, and they're in less and less places. But still to this day, no matter where I go, there's still people keeping them. On a private lake, if you really study hard and you know exactly what you could take, you could do a better job of managing. But on public waters, the only way we can preserve them is to leave big bluegills. And some people say, yeah, it's the big males, but I think any bluegill that's big needs to stay in the lake. They compete to get as big as the biggest bluegill in the lake, but they're delicious. That's the hard part.
I know our local biologist, we've talked about that when it comes to crappies and bluegills, and I've had it on the radio before, and he basically maintains you should keep fish at the ratio you're catching them. If you're catching 7 to 9 inch fish or 7 to 8 inch fish, you should be keeping more 7 to 8s and not sorting through and taking all the big ones.
Exactly, and that's just it. You know, for taxidermy, just one fish for a memory, that's never killed off a lake. It's when all the big ones get flayed up. And for a fork full of meat, we're destroying lakes. And I've been kind of talking about this now for close to 20 years about conserving big bluegills. I love eating them. But in some bodies of water, the 10s are getting rare, the 9-inchers are getting rare, and there's nothing more beholding than a giant bluegill fighting on the end of the fishing pole.
Unbelievable fight they do.
And the memories that we have of catching these things, well, the only way they can exist is if we throw the big ones back. And you could have a meal of smaller ones. And now what size do you take out of what lake? Some lakes don't even have 10-inchers in them. Some lakes have 9s would be the big ones. Some lakes an 8.5 would be a big bluegill. Identify the top layer of the bluegills in a lake, and those are the ones that just stay. And keep them smaller. And it's not that much difference in meat. Like if in our lakes we still have a few 9s and 10s, well, the rule in my boat is nothing over 9. You can mount one, but only one. And I don't make a habit out of pushing people to mount them. A lot of times we just throw them back. And my clients understand, and everybody knows where I stand on the bluegills. Crappies, we put them back because you want the next person to catch it or a young kid to catch it. It's not quite the same. It's predator, prey, relationships, year class recruitment, stratified year classes. It's a little different. Bluegills, they have a hierarchy. You know, we don't know anything about genetics or anything like that. It's mostly all about keeping them little ones on the feed bag, and especially in the first 4 years of growth. We've learned that if you take the big bluegills out of a lake, an average lake, they've done studies, two lakes, they remove the big ones, it never righted itself in 20 years. The lakes will never come back. There's lakes in northern Minnesota that used to have pound and a half bluegills and huge populations. They got wiped out, and everybody says they're going to come back. Well, one of these lakes has been 25 years, and they've never come back. They never will. But a way to bring them back, and one of the toolboxes that has been brought up, is 1/9, but let's reintroduce big bluegills to our bodies of water again. And I thought this would be a great way for somebody who owns a farm or a pond to grow some big bluegills, get them to a good size, and then stock them to different lakes, you know, with the DNR, obviously.
So
stocking large bluegills and then protect them. Now, it sounds complicated. We don't want a complicated fishing world, but I can't keep a big bluegill. And even if it's slightly injured, it has a better chance going back in the water than going home with me. It's surviving. So I'm very, very, very strict on bluegills. I love eating fish, don't get me wrong. I got a gill growing on this side of my head. But I can eat bluegills. I don't keep going to the same lake. You know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Dakotas, Michigan, there's so many bodies of water. Conquer one, it's time to go conquer another one, you know. And I eat perch, I eat walleyes. Walleyes and perch can take a lot more of a beating, and even crappies can. So I love catching bluegills. I'm telling you, I love them. They're so tasty too. But a good meal of 7 to 8 inch bluegills is hard to beat. And when you truly measure them, mouth closed, tail pinched, those are nice fish. So I'm not being real strict in my boat. If it's under 9, maybe even like 8 3/4, we ain't gonna keep them. But if someone wants to keep a limit of bluegills, if they're smaller, that's no problem. And so it's not all or nothing. There's plenty of wiggle room, but throw them big gills back. That's all it comes down to.
Yeah, you know, and that same thing, we need to think about that with everything we do fishing.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. There's plenty of good anglers out there. It's not about how good you are at angling anymore. It's how good you are at letting it go. You know, the old sticky fingers, the hook and loop fingers, that somehow that fish gets stuck to it. We got to shake them fingers a little bit, but to get them fish back. But there's a lot of different fish to go out there and chase and enjoy. And by all means, have a great time fishing for them. Just to keep in mind that when you do remove big bluegills, you'll have a stunted population, and it will never be able to right itself. So I think if everybody got together and talk to the DNR, show some interest, we can concentrate a little bit more on maybe reintroducing big gills back into systems. Lakes that have winter kill, that's a different dynamic.
Right.
Lakes that have freshwater shrimp, there's so many different dynamics. But on average, your natural lakes won't come back. And there's some great areas with fertile flowages that are resilient and can take a beating. But I would rather have the lakes be really good for fishing than extremely hard to catch and small, you know, small panfish. But that's a key focus right now.
Well, Bro's always interesting guy. Anyway, we have to take another break and hear from more of our fine sponsors. When we come back, we'll have another interview and lots more on your outdoors.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information.
since 1966, Earls Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earls Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Attention pet owners! Dr. Ostrander is excited to announce the addition of veterinarian Dr. Abby Stoll to the staff of Hayward Animal Hospital. Dr. Abby comes from a family with a strong veterinarian tradition. Her grandfather, brother, and cousin are all veterinarians, and her father is an elk biologist. She has a passion for animals. Dr. Abby is intelligent, experienced, kind, and compassionate. Come meet this extraordinary woman at Hayward Animal Hospital, located on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host is Kristen down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and Bob Schuster. And I got Tim Duffy in here to talk about fishing, and this is going to be an interesting thing, too. So, Tim, I know you've been out there doing a bunch of fishing already early in the season, and it's been a little bit of a challenge sometimes.
Yeah, it's been kind of challenging, but you know, I think if guys switch and move and change around their tactics, too many guys get stuck into the same thing, same water. Most guys are going shallow right now, and believe it or not, that we've been doing really good with the trolling bite and casting artificial lures for northerns, walleyes, and even the crappies, especially if they're out over the deeper water, which a lot of them are right now, like you guys were talking. I'm starting to see certain bays are, have warmer temperatures, and you see, I saw a few fish on the beds, but same lake, north bays that should be warmer, their water's 3 degrees colder, and there's nothing in there. So you can actually tell by going in and looking to see. If there's no minnows, if there's no bugs, there's no fish in there either. So visually, you can tell an awful lot by scoping things out beforehand, and so many guys go to the shallow water, start fishing it, and if you can visually actually see that there's nothing there, so you're going to spend all these hours not catching nothing. So try deep, try shallow, try mid depth, search around. It's easy to get stuck in one spot, but the trolling bite is a good technique to locate fish. Even if you get a bump or something, you know that they're there. We've been doing that a lot, but we've been doing really well from day to day, trolling and casting with artificials for all species.
Well, you know, time of day seems to make a difference. A lot of people, especially the guiding thing, you get guys that I got to get going 8 o'clock in the morning right away, and the mornings really haven't been the best thing to be out there.
You know, I've had a lot of people try, you know, they just set into this morning thing. I tell them, I said, you're wasting your money. And I've actually had people say, you know, I don't want to sit in the boat with them and not catch any fish either. But this time of year, and especially a year like this year, we talked about yesterday, we were out on the water, and at about 3:45, the water peaked at 63 degrees. And it was there for about, you know, an hour and a half or so, and it went from 63 to 59 in that span of time. So the temperature changes. You were off the lake,
right,
and we were sitting there, you know, kind of getting fish here and there, and also they went crazy because that was the warmest water. And then it lasted for about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then it slowly, the temperature dropped, it went back to 59, and then wind direction actually moves that warm water to different parts of the lake also. So water temperature is very key, especially, you know, between a finicky bite and them going nuts. And at 63 degrees, they were going nuts until it slowly started to drop again.
Well, you know, and guys chomping at the bit and wanting to get going early in the morning, what I see is the guys start to get tired. I mean, they're out there and then they start to get tired. And that's one of the reasons I started doing the 5-hour afternoon evening trip specials that I do. And you do the same thing, basically, but I started doing it years ago.
You gotta grab the bull by the horn and say, hey, I'm the guide. Listen to what I have to say. You wanna catch fish? Then this is what you're paying me for. If you wanna do your thing, then go out and sit in the boat by yourself. And basically, that's what it comes down to, because at the end of the day, if you don't catch fish and they go at the wrong time, it falls back on you.
Well, yeah, you know, and Bob, I know the Bass League, too, we see that sometimes the best action is in the evening, especially, you know, as we get going.
Absolutely. For this past week, we found in mud bays, lovely pads were coming up, the water temp was just a scooch over 60, and the fish were active.
1 degree, if you can find that 1 degree water, it's going to be that much better than, and from 59 to 60, or 59 to 62, any inkling up to the warmer water is going to get you a better bite. And that, it doesn't matter what bay you're in or whatever, it's going to be, what species, they're going to be more active, and they're going to bite that much better. The warmer, and I say for like walleyes and stuff, the ideal temperature when they really go crazy is like 65 to 68 degrees, 69 degrees. That's when it's like little bit later in the season. Good trolling bite, good slip bobber bite. They're rising up off the bottom. And then once you get over 69 degrees into the 70s, then I always figure you're kind of in your summer pattern. And, you know, that's usually in July, end of July.
But then usually the evening bite is better because it starts to cool just a little bit.
Definitely. So it's a reverse thing. And so yeah. And then it go to the fall. The same thing happens. It's all about the warm water and you know, if it's too warm or too cold. But you got to find their comfort zone and know what that is.
I know that. And doing the evening trips like I've done, I found that, you know, and do I miss out sometimes? Yes, because I have other guides that will tell me that occasionally the best muskie bite has been in the run in the mornings. And sometimes you do find that. But consistently, day in and day out, that afternoon evening bite, especially evening once you get in the summer, seems to be really good.
I think, you know, you're talking muskie fishing. I think, too, when guys get out there, certain lakes, there's always, you know, sometimes you have a really good turn-on day where they're just going. But I think on any lake, if you stick with it, at some point, there's always a little turn-on at some point. Bass fishing, you probably see that, too.
Oh, yeah.
And guys will say, well, you know, it was slow and we left the lake. And we'll go, at this time, they turned on for maybe a half hour, and everybody else will say the same thing. So there's, even on a slow day, there's usually a turn on, and so people got to be ready, you know, and the guys in the boat get tired, and they go, if you're going to take a cast, then you better be ready to take a, get a fish, otherwise don't cast, yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, prime times, early in the morning, right after sunup, and evening are obviously times that people know, but other things also influence it. We've kind of, some of the muskie guides, including me, watched this as the times that the moon rises and sets during the day. Some of those things trigger the fish. But a lot of times you're fishing for fish that aren't really feeding, Tim. You're fishing for fish that you can trigger to get the strike. You get that with a trolling bite especially.
So here, you know, you're talking about the morning and the evening bite. The reason those are good times is because the fish move out of the deeper water. You know, or in the morning they're up in that shallow water feeding, or they're moving up into that. But what we've been doing, even with walleyes, we fish right in the middle of the day. And when most guys are coming to the water, we're leaving. But we're fishing in the weeds, in the cover, in the darkness, where they're at. And
where
then
the
you got to
where the
yes. And so most guys will fish above those weeds, but you get down in those weeds, and that's where your little weedless jig comes into play. In the middle of the day, we get limits of walleyes. And in the old days, I used to do everything at night. You know, I'm too old for that stuff right now. But we get those fish in the daytime down in those weeds. But you got to have the right technique to get down in there.
Well, sometimes you're not getting fish that are actually feeding or active. You're getting fish that are responding to a bait that gets snapped past the front of them, too.
And we're having that happen right now. A guy will be, you know, using a bait, and he gets hooked on a weed, and he snaps it off there. And he goes, oh, geez, I got a hit. Well, the fish sees that thing snap off that weed, and they jump on it.
Reaction straight.
Well, you know, I know some of the guys over in Minnesota that fish some of the lakes like Leech and Mille Lacs and stuff. A lot of those guys don't even use light bait on the walleyes anymore. It's either soft plastics or some of the baits like jigging wraps. And all they're looking for is that reactive strike. And they catch fish all day long rather than wait for. Traditionally, like the guys run out to their favorite spot in the evening and sit there and wait for the walleyes with slip bobbers. You can get them by going after them, too. And same thing with bass or any other fish.
I think that, you know, that's true. I think there's a big difference between us as guides. You look at who you got in the boat. And so we might know how to trigger the bite, but they might not. Or maybe we have the energy to snap all day long, but they don't.
Right.
So you usually got the live bait usually helps a little bit better. They hold on to it a little bit longer. So if it was just me going out there, yeah, I could snap all day long and catch them. But we have to have people in a boat, and they're not going to be able to do the same things.
I know, Bobby, you've got information on almost all the guides in here. Tim, you want to give out your guide information quick?
Yeah, people can get a hold of me at 715-634-5100.
And Bobby, like I mentioned, you've got guide cards in here for most of the guides, and then you've got a lot of information in here. Somebody who just wants tips and information.
Absolutely.
You guys can help them out.
And
I think you're getting Kristen kind of into that too, right?
Oh, I'm learning.
Okay. Well, thank you, people, for coming in here today and being on the show.
Thank you, John.
And remind folks, if you miss a show, that you can always get that show on our website. We podcast it on WNORadio.net on our podcast site. It airs 8 o'clock, both 8 o'clock on WHSM AM and the Cabin FM on Saturday mornings, and it airs 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. So lots of time to listen to the show. Thanks, guys, for coming in.
Hope to see you on the water.
And we're out of time for this week, folks. We'll see you again next week.
Come on along, listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.